Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, hello, listeners. It's Wednesday afternoon, which means it's time for the midweek wash-up. I'm Mark Duffield. I'm the senior football writer of the West Australian newspaper. I have with me Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor at the Sunday Times newspaper. Quarters, let's get into a bit of sexual politics.
Whoa. Jeez, we're tackling all the issues here, aren't we?
So the AFL's going to change its logo. It's not going to say AFL. It's going to say yes.
Is that just for today or tomorrow? Just for a couple of days?
No, it'll be temporary, but yep. I don't know what temporary actually means. How long is a piece of string?
Yeah,
do you have any thoughts about it?
I do.
And this, of course, for those who have been hiding under a rock for the last 6 weeks or so.
It's, and I don't mind, you know, divulging, like most people, I hope.
It is about
I voted yes. Look, I voted yes. I'm an individual. I don't mind anyone having an individual opinion on it and expressing that, whether that's Gil McLaughlin or any coach or any player. I don't mind that. I'm not sure whether as an organisation they should be buying into it as such. Individuals, yes, an organisation, perhaps. Are they disenfranchising those who may vote no, who are AFL members and AFL fans? I'm just not sure whether that's territory we should be entering into. Interestingly, Carlton today put out a press release saying they're not going to offer any opinion.
They're going to vote maybe.
That's right. They're just they're basically saying that's up to the individual to make their own choice and we won't be buying into it. So that's what Carlton came out and said today. Very interesting.
Well, for what it's worth, I haven't received my letter yet. When I do receive it, I'll be voting yes. And my take on this is I don't have any issue with the AFL taking this stance. I think that anyone who votes no is basically voting that all people aren't equal. And I think all people should be treated equally. And so I don't have any issue with the AFL taking a strong stand and being a leader in the community. I think that is part of their role. And, yep. And you know, while I don't feel overly strongly about it, I'm happy for them to do it if they feel strongly about it. I agree
they should be a leader. And it's certainly in areas such as Indigenous affairs, I believe they've been internationally world leaders. They've been fantastic in those aspects. But I'm just not sure on this particular area whether it matters so much. I think best left to the individual. And leave it at that, I reckon.
So that's a big issue. Let's get on to another big in inverted commas issue. Grand final colours. Oh. There's a bit of a ruckus going on because if Richmond makes it and if Adelaide makes it, we're now hearing there's going to be a toss of the coin because the Tigers don't want to wear their waist whip with a predominantly yellow and only whittle back.
And your answer to that, Duff, is?
My answer to this is Adelaide finished on top of the ladder. If they want to wear their home strip and if that means that Richmond have to wear their away strip, tough titties, Tiggers.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is this, I don't want to point out the bleeding obvious, but this game will be played at your bloody home ground.
Is it that big a clash, the jumpers? Can't they just wear their own strips?
I think Richmond's jumper does clash a little bit with a few jumpers. I know when one of the hardest games to cover is when they play West Coast in Perth because it is very hard to tell the jumpers apart.
Tell you what, maybe on my eyesight, and I do wear glasses, but maybe my eyesight is better than most because never seemed to bother me in the 70s when I used to watch North Melbourne play Collingwood on black and white TV, and I've just never had a problem with jumpers clashing.
And the other thing I'll say, Quarters, if the AFL resorts to a toss of the coin to decide this...
Well, it should just be, if it's Adelaide's right, it should be Adelaide's right if they have to...
AFL is as weak as piss.
Yeah, fair call. I mean, if there has to be a choice, then Adelaide should get that choice, finishing higher. No question.
Would the Victorian clubs like a 5-goal head start?
Yeah, fair
as well.
Enough.
Or perhaps we should have Rory Sloane, Tex Walker and Eddie Betts could go out with their legs tied together.
Yeah, I reckon,
or maybe one arm tied behind their back.
I reckon when the Sharon's spinning in front of you on the footy field, I don't reckon you'll worry too much about what the colour of your jumper is anyway. So,
if Richmond as a footy club is so upset by the fact that they may have to wear their away jumper in a grand final.
KB is.
Playing in their first grand final in 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then no bloody wonder you haven't played in a grand final in 35 years.
Yeah. I tell you, the one thing I didn't like was St Kilda playing in its first grand final in a long, long time in 1997 when they wore that cross. Didn't like it. Didn't like the look of it. I think Freo chose to wear white in 2013.
Freo could have worn their home jumper, mm-hmm. but they would have had to have worn the away shorts, and they chose either home and or away Guernsey, given that the jumper was, or given the shorts were away, they chose to wear the away jumper as well. And let's just, to state the bleeding obvious, Hawthorn finished on top and therefore earned the right to pick their jumper. If you finish on top and you have to go to the other bloody mob's home ground to play the grand final, I think you're entitled to choose what jumper you play in.
I'll tell you one thing, Duff, and I've been fortunate enough to witness a few grand finals with my team in it, but I can't remember once going to the ground on that day knowing whether we were going to wear the home or away strip or what we were wearing. Would not have even entered my mind. Would not care less. I just want my team to win on the day. That's all I care about.
So I wonder why people do care, because...
Kevin Bartlett's pretty big on it. He's whipped up a bit of a frenzy in Melbourne on Melbourne Radio.
Great team player, Kevin Bartlett. Handballed a lot.
On to the next one.
Jakey Stringer.
Oh.
The package.
Well, yeah.
Return to sender.
Not such a package at the moment. It's a very small cardboard box, isn't it, really, at the moment, with a flimsy bit of string tying it together. If he did not see that coming, that's like standing in the middle of the Hume Highway at midnight and wondering why you got hit by a truck.
He was stunned and amazed, Glenn.
He was not stunned and amazed.
He hadn't had a kick since Noah was a kid, but anyway, he was stunned
that
and amazed.
Coming, and Bob Murphy came out today, I note, and said, I can't understand why he didn't see that coming. He saw it coming, didn't commit himself as he should this year. And that's the result of it. So I guess one thing in his favour, he said he did have only himself to blame for the situation, which is good.
That's reassuring.
Yeah. Look, if I...
hasn't spoken to Luke Beveridge about why he finds himself not a required player.
Yeah.
If I was an elite player... and I genuinely didn't know, and I'll guarantee you Jake Stringer bloody knows. He needs to check his social calendar over the last 12 months.
Yeah.
He'll have a fair idea as to why he's on his way out of the club.
Well, someone should get in his ear. I'm sure they have, because it's over pretty quickly. And while he's achieved a bit so far, he's 24? Still a young man.
I think he's got a higher IQ than
goes very, very, very quickly. And it'll be over before he knows it. So let's hope he can reassess. I've no doubt he'll get picked up. He will get picked up. And maybe the pressure of starting in a new club, having to learn new systems, having to get to know new teammates and earn their trust might be what he needs.
I'll tell you what will happen. So I hope that at some stage Jake Stringer sits down, and I'm being serious now, I was being facetious before, but I hope that he sits down with Jason McCartney, the Bulldogs list manager, and with Luke Beveridge, the coach, and get some honest feedback, and he's prepared to give them a good listening to. About why he went from being a required player, an absolute required player, and their most dangerous primary forward, to being a player they were happy to trade. And I also hope when he gets to his new club that they say, assuming that a trade is done, because none of these things are final until the paperwork is done, and he gets some honest feedback from them about what is required from a player that they have given something up, which they will have to do, to get a player like Jake Stringer. Jake Stringer is a really talented player. Jake Stringer should be a 50-goal-a-year AFL forward, 40 goals at a minimum, and he just hasn't been at that level for a year and a half, and he hasn't prepared himself to be at that level.
So how well have the Dogs played it, given that now everyone knows they don't want him? Perhaps his asking price isn't so much.
I think that... you will still have to pay a fair whack to get Jake Stringer. I mean, don't forget, this is a guy that kicked nearly 60 goals in a season a couple of years ago. So
it's a shame, really. I must say, I don't like seeing premiership players, and that was such a fairy tale premiership. I don't like it. I'd love to see him stay, but it's obviously not going to happen. And let's hope it's best for both parties.
Yeah, I think. Look, the Bulldogs are probably going to lose out of this, because here's a guy that. And do you reckon that at some point during the past 12 months, Jake Stringer wouldn't have got some feedback, mate, wind your neck in?
He would have from his teammates, definitely.
Certainly Bob Murphy wasn't surprised.
Yeah, no, that's right, he wasn't.
He was surprised that Jake was surprised.
Yeah, well, we were all surprised that Jake was surprised. We saw this coming 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So if he's either doesn't pay any attention to the speculation, the media, I'm sure he does, because most of them do, he's just not that smart because it was clearly coming.
So he would have been given that feedback. He would have taken no notice or not taken the necessary steps to turn his game around. He will get to a new club. He will realise that to get punted by one club is one thing. To get punted by two clubs is generally career-ending.
Yep.
So he will knuckle down. He will do a better job. He will become a better player. He will become the player we all thought he could and should be.
Yep.
And so the Bulldogs will lose out of this. But at the end of the day, when a guy has been spoken to and not listened to and not listened, what do you do? You have to. There is a damage that he's done to your player group and your player culture if you say, well, we're just, you know, he's not a good listener, so we'll just leave him be and let him get away with this. Jake needs to.
He does.
Pull his head out of a certain body part and get
absolutely
on with it.
Absolutely. And speaking of freight trains and convoys coming down the Hume Highway, I don't think there'll be too much of it for this weekend. We'd be more like a three-legged pony and perhaps a Boy Scout.
They've loaded up the VW Beetle with the boot at the front. You know the one.
It's not really an orange tsunami as such, really, is it? It's more like a little kid's paddle pool, a couple of little ripples. But on the field it probably is, but off the field, 3,000... tickets sold to GWS members on Monday when the public seating was exhausted. And there will be an AFL element to the tickets, obviously, and an MCC element to it. But I would think we'd be getting up to about 80,000 plus Richmond support at that.
Yeah, 85,000. I hope they don't have to wear their yellow merchandising jumpers.
Oh.
I hope they all get to wear the one that's mainly black and gold.
I think we know what they'll be wearing. There'll be a little sprinkling of orange, you'll see, but there won't be much of it.
With a large sprinkling of tattoos and
yes,
bloody nose piercings.
Well, there will be. I note that today at Giants training, they had some speakers going with some sound, trying to mimic the noise they're going to hear on Saturday at the MCG. But I think they probably need to throw a few expletives in.
I hope
probably can't understand if they're truly to replicate what they're going to face on Saturday.
I hope they got Deep Purple's speaker stack too to belt the noise out, because it's going to be pretty loud.
Yeah. My advice to them would be after the game on Saturday, I'd just head down to Geelong. Don't go out in Melbourne, because you'll be hearing plenty from Richmond supporters.
What, win or lose?
Well, no. If you
are you assuming the tickets are going to win?
I am. If Richmond loses, mate, you'll be able to start a gondola business in Swan Street or up Bridge Road, because the flow of tears will be never ending. Probably end up down in Box Hill, I reckon. The water.
Oh, yeah. There will be some carnage too, because they can eat their own.
Oh, they can. And one thing I didn't like, on a serious note, they can eat their own. Look, I admire Richmond's passion. I know there was all the stories that have been put to air this week. One bloke named his kid Richmond. Poor kid, never really had a chance, did he? But
he calls himself Richie.
I don't know. What I didn't like is week one, when Richmond had a good win and the Giants weren't so impressive and Deledio wasn't so impressive. There's a lot of comment on social media from Richmond supporters on Deledio, on the suck eggs variety, bad luck. You know, I just thought it was a bit. Sometimes you got to wake up to yourself a bit. That bloke gave 13 years of blood and sweat to that footy club, played nearly 250 games, and they parted on pretty good terms. And really, it was a bit of a super deal, I guess, for Deledio, with the hope he may get a bit of success. I'm sure he wouldn't have thought 12 months on to be playing in a serious final against his old team. But I think he gave a lot to that footy club. So I just hope if they lose or if they win, there's a bit of goodwill to Brett Deledio this weekend, because he deserves it.
How long have you been following footy for?
Yeah, I know. It's not happening. But I'm trying my best here.
You're goodwill hunting. Jesus. There won't be any goodwill there.
There'll be no goodwill at all from the Tigers.
Brett Deledio is one of my favourite players. Yep. I think he's one of the most underrated number one draft picks going around, because he's in the not quite superstar bracket, isn't he? He's been a very, very good player without becoming.
I reckon for a year
superstar.
Or two he probably was in that bracket, but only for a year or two at the peak of his career. He's been a very good player for a long time, and, you know, as I say, Richmond supporters need to remember how good he was for them.
Well, they're too busy getting their black and gold jumpers out.
The duffel coats ready for grand final week. That's what they're doing. Getting the old Roach and Jim the Ghost Jess badges out, dusting them off and getting the duffel coats ready, mate.
All right. Well, we'll get into some tipping later, but let's get into some questions. So from Benjamin, why don't the two WA clubs, West Coast and Fremantle, ever seem to deal with each other during the trade period?
Don't think I've ever seen them together in the same room, Duff. I don't think they liked dealing with each other.
Could they be the same person?
Oh, I don't think so.
You've never seen them in the same place at the same time.
It's the same mascot.
Well, it is too.
Yes, that's right, which is a strange one. But I think they like dealing with each other too much at all, Duff. You would agree
well,
with that?
Well, it happened a few times early on, and it didn't end well for Fremantle.
Yeah.
So there was a few guys that made their way down the highway. David Hines, Daniel Metropoulos, Tony Godden, to name a few, and didn't really produce much fruit.
Harding back the other
Harding
way.
Back the other didn't really produce much fruit either. Trent Carroll, I think, back the other way didn't really produce a lot of fruit either. So it hasn't been a highly successful thing.
They've been sort of deals at the end of players' careers or, there haven't really been much in it. So.
Or very much disgruntled players too, I think. That's the other thing. there are times when they should, aren't there?
Well, I think there are times when they deal with each other, not necessarily on player movement, but the stadium issue and other serious football matters, I think, where they do combine forces and try and help each other out. Well, certainly not on the opening round game. But
So let's say, for argument's sake, from a list management perspective, West Coast had one more very good power forward and Fremantle had one more very good midfielder. And Jack Darling was a little bit disgruntled, and that extra midfielder at Fremantle was a little bit disgruntled.
Well, if they were the only club they could deal, if it was the best deal for that particular club, then you'd go for it.
That's a win-win.
Well, if it's a win-win, that's fine. But if you can do the same deal with another club for equal result and it's not Fremantle, I'm sure they would, or vice versa. Don't think there's a lot of love there.
There's no love. No. I know that. I wasn't saying there was any love. Yeah. I'm just saying it might be beneficial for both parties. You don't cut your nose off to spite your face.
No.
Patrick asks, how did Cam Shepherd win Waffle Coach of the Year? I can't think of any way he could have been chosen ahead of Jared Schofield or Greg Harding.
Well, I think he's done. I agree with Jared Schofield. I think he should have been Coach of the Year. The one thing I'll say about Cam Shepherd is they're the cards he's been dealt. He's been You can criticise the system in place with Fremantle players going back to the Waffle, but you can't criticise Cameron Shepherd. They're the cards he was dealt, and I think he's done a pretty good job with them. But I think Schofield's job, like losing one game between round one and their second semi, was a great effort, and I think he should have been Coach of the Year. I'd agree with that.
I'd agree absolutely with Jared Schofield being the Waffle Coach of the Year. I think he's done an outstanding job, and there will be interest. Well, there is interest in
locally, perhaps too, and Port Adelaide, I hear, and also perhaps the Eagles.
I think Port Adelaide and West Coast have some interest in Jared Schofield.
Like to see it happen.
We should note that if we're going to discount Cam Shepherd's achievements because of the resources available to him, i.e. Fremantle players, we should also factor in the resources that Subiaco
has.
Subiaco operates at a very highly resourced level compared to other Waffle clubs, and the latter position often reflects that.
Mate, you get a king in the ace at the blackjack table, mate. You don't hand them back and say, no, those cards are too good.
I'm not
playing this round.
It's only when you get your away jumper and your Richmond supporter to play on grand final that you hand it back. Oh, I don't want to wear that.
Fair call.
Okay, Laura asks, who will the Eagles trade that has some currency to get an A-grade speedy mid?
I don't think there's any players really. I mean, there are players perhaps at the back end of their careers they could trade. There's a Sharad Wellingham type. I'm really not sure if there's anyone available who they'd be prepared to part ways with. As we keep saying, they do need leg speed in the middle, but I don't think they can afford to lose too much from either end, from defence or the forward line. I think they're pretty well settled in both. I wouldn't want to see them get rid of anyone, to be honest. Maybe a Schofield. Probably not a McKenzie now, but I'd still be loath to do that.
So there's not going to be much interest for Schofield and McKenzie.
No, I think, there's no one really on the table. I think you go through the draft. I think you back the kids you got in there. You back a Venables to come in. Jackson Nelson's going to be back next year. And I think you go through the draft. If something hits you between the eyes, yes, but I think most of their really good players are off the table.
So pick 13, pick 12 or pick 13. I have to do my math because you're doing it backwards with an 18-team comp. That's around about where they sit at the moment. Of course, that can change with academy bidding that happens. That's about the pick they took Daniel Venables at last year. So and they regard Venables as a player who could develop into a Luke Shuey type. Luke Shuey was taken with pick 18 in his draft. So you can get a very good mid in that sort of that early teens pick.
I just hope they don't start falling into the trap of future trades, because I'm told the year after is a very, very good draft.
Yep.
So I'd advise against that one.
So
No 2018. Yeah. Trades. Don't do that.
And my understanding is there's seven players at the top end of the draft, and this probably applies to Fremantle people more than West Coast people, because obviously Fremantle will have pick five at the moment. So seven players who are regarded as quite even. Rayner is the one that most people are talking about as the likely number one pick. He's a Dustin Martin type, which is very fashionable at the moment and will become more fashionable after Brownlow Medal.
Might be in 2 weeks' time or next Monday night.
And a couple of other similar types. There's one key forward, Brander, and there's also a Ruckman Hayes. But the rest of them are midfielder defender, midfielder forward.
And I see Frio's written himself out of the Norton scenario today too, on Trade Radio, saying that he won't be someone we'll be going after. Interesting.
Well, yeah, I was listening to Brad Lloyd talk on Trade Radio yesterday. He didn't actually write him out of it. But I think it's more likely to be one of the seven, and Norton isn't in that seven.
Yep.
Norton's more in the bracket sort of 9 to 15, 9 to 16, I reckon, in this draft pecking order. Okay, Clint Rolls asks, why do West Australian teams keep missing out on some of the best West Australian talent at draft time year in and year out? Is it an Eagles and Dockers talent scouting fault or an ignorance issue? I think they look at the national talent pool and they establish a pecking order. You may not agree with the pecking order, but there is just as much danger in adopting a West Australian bias as there is in adopting a
That's
non-West
right, and there
Australian
are a few
bias.
Other clubs out there who have draft picks who can get them before you. So it's not always, and there's also a bit of luck involved. You look at Simon Black, you look at Buddy Franklin over the years, you know, players do, you know, you do miss out on guns, but so does every other club.
I didn't see anyone handing out Jared Neesham bouquets because they end up with Phil Gilbert and not Andrew McLeod.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so
that's a famous
best available player, and it doesn't matter where he comes from. Obviously, when they trade, they look to get West Australian talent home. But that applies to both clubs. I think both clubs believe that the people most likely to come to WA are West Australians.
Yeah.
There's the odd exception to that. I mean, Daniel Pearce at Fremantle, Jack Redden at West Coast. But
they're very odd exceptions, though.
But generally speaking, you bring the local kids home at trade. But I think that West Coast recruiters will be anxious to get some runs on the board over the next couple of years, because I think they did have a couple of flat years. And I think last year will prove to be better, I reckon.
Sheed's a good pickup. Sheed was a good pick.
Well, I reckon Venables and Waterman and that group and Rotham, I think they will in time be shown to be good players.
I think Sheed will be a ripper too. I mean, if he's not already, I think he's on his way. He's climbing.
And for people who criticise Fremantle, I think if you look at their top four picks from last year's draft, Logue, Ryan, Darcy, and
Can't
Cox,
argue with any of those.
I think that's a pretty good.
Yep.
It's a pretty good nailing
they'll set
down.
Them up.
The top
they'll help
picks.
Set them up for the next 10 years. So.
Yeah, and you throw in, even though he's going home, you throw in Harley Balick on top of that from the previous year. That was a good pick. It's just that the kid's homesick and wants to go back.
Yeah, well,
to
let's
Melbourne.
Hope they get something decent in return.
All right, Quarters. Let's turn our attention to two preliminary finals.
It's one of the heartbreaking weekends in footy, I reckon, this one. Notwithstanding the grand final, of course, there's one team that's very, very sad at the end of it. But I think this is the weekend where it's pure footy, really. It's just in a sense, and then but you're still holding something back for the following week. It's a really weird weekend of footy. A lot of heartache associated with it. And we got two games here where they're 1-1 this year, both teams. So Adelaide and Geelong have both had a victory against each other, and likewise Richmond and GWS. So you could make a case for all of them this weekend. So it's a tantalising weekend of footy ahead. But I'll start with the Friday night. First preliminary final at Adelaide Oval. And
so let's assume that Mitch McGovern doesn't come
up. He's not playing this week. He's not going to play.
So does Adelaide still win with one of their gun forwards out?
They do. I'm going to pick Adelaide. And I say that with some reluctance because I was very impressed with Geelong last week. I just did not see that coming. Of course, there's one bloke who will have a fairly big say in it, and I just can't wait to see this game because of what not only Dangerfield brings to the Geelong cause, but because he's playing against Adelaide. And it's one of the matchups we've been waiting to see for a long time. That has this much importance surrounding it.
Okay, let's put your coach's hat on.
Yep.
Does Patrick Dangerfield start forward or midfield?
No, he starts midfield. Everyone's expecting him to start forward, so I think he starts midfield and goes forward. And then you can just wax and wane depending on what happens, I think, during the game. He certainly works there. What they've got, Guthrie's still out, isn't he?
Probably.
Yeah, so they'll need him in the midfield. They'll need him running through there. Adelaide's got a fair bit of depth there. Sloane returns, of course, which is a great help to them. The Crouch brothers in ripping form. I think they'll have enough. They're still the best attack and one of the best defences in the comp, Adelaide. And I think that even with McGovern out, I still think there's enough down there in that forward line to worry the pants off Geelong's defence. I think they'll get it done at home.
Okay, next question. Yep. When Dangerfield does go forward, which Adelaide defender do you choose to
match up on? The Glove or Jake Kelly, who's done it in the past, Kyle Hardigan. Probably start with Jake Kelly. I just like it because just see how it goes for the first 5 minutes or so. Former housemate, I like that sort of rivalry. I like those little that gamesmanship.
Okay, son of Craig, of course.
I'm saying that I think they're all quality defenders and they could all do the job. But that's how I'd start.
You would want Lever playing a more aggressive role.
I definitely would. Yes.
Okay, Rory Sloane, tag or don't tag?
Well, who does Scott Selwood, that is, go to?
Blitzavs, who did the job on Kennedy last week.
Well, he may go one of the Crouch brothers. It was a great move last week. I think you're probably, and equally so, what do they do with Dangerfield if he goes into the middle? I think you'll probably find Sloane at the start probably playing probably with Scott Selwood on him and maybe Blitzavs on one of the Crouches at the very start, I would think.
Yep, I go with Scott Selwood to Rory Sloane.
Yep.
I agree with you with Kelly on Dangerfield when Dangerfield goes forward. Do you tag Dangerfield when he's midfield?
Well,
or do you tag anyone? Do you tag Dangerfield
or
Selwood?
Well, I don't know if either side will, to be honest. I think they'll back themselves in. That's the way I see the game going midfield. I might be wrong, but that's the way I see it going. Be an intriguing game for so many different reasons. What was going on with Tom Stewart this week about the food poisoning?
No, he's a bit confused, Tommy.
He's a bit confused. Suggesting that the Geelong player, he's not training because he's got about a food poisoning that's gone through the club.
Sometimes guys get credit, you know, when you could easily take another view. Remember, Tommy Stewart had that great effort in the final last week where he ran back with Buddy and then he intercepted a ball and, yep, and dribbled out onto the wing and he had about three goes at it and eventually laid a tackle. The only reason he had to make three goes at it is because he fumbled twice.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a great effort. It was the play of the night. It was so inspirational. Picked the ball up cleanly the first time, son, and you would have spotted up a teammate at the back end of the square and you might have kicked a goal.
But at least I guess there was a repeat effort there. That would have pleased the coach. So I'll go to the other end. And Eddie Betts, who do you like? Zach Tui or perhaps a Jed Buse who's had the job in the past?
I would go with Jed Buse. I think he's an emerging young defender. I think he's been the one that's really improved off the charts in the back
end
of the
season. And has
had
good record on him. Yeah. Has played on him in the past. Son of Andrew, of course, Geelong player.
I think you need a strong body on Eddie. You need to be able to push him around and intimidate him a little bit. And I would certainly be heading that way with that. I guess the one last question before we move on to the other game. Does Harry Taylor, let's not forget that Tommy Lonergan comes back into the team.
Forward.
So Harry Taylor forward for you.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. I think
it's pretty good last week.
With Adelaide's potent forward line, you're going to need to kick goals.
Yeah, so. I think so. I think so.
All right, so we move on to...
So we're both Adelaide?
We're both Adelaide. Yep. I'm pretty comfortable. I think Adelaide would have been a bit more spooked had Sydney gotten through, I reckon.
Okay.
Richmond versus GWS at the Donut on Saturday afternoon. What do you think?
Again, I'm going to be fascinated. This Richmond forward line really fascinates me. Incredible amount of tackles inside 50 in their first final. If they repeat that, they'll win. And I'm picking them on the strength of that. If they don't repeat that, I see they're talking about throwing Shai Bolton in the mix, but I'm not sure if they really muck around with that forward line. Townsend kicked two. He was pretty quiet apart from that, but he still kicked
well,
two.
Well, the one that I reckon quarters is going to be under the pump is Castagna.
George Castagna.
So Castagna's had a pretty bleak month. He hasn't touched the ball.
Still
much.
A lot of tackle pressure in there though, and that's what that forward line does. I would not mess around with it. I'd keep him in there. He's still laid a lot of tackles.
So he brings more of that than Shai Bolton would.
Yeah, clearly. So I'm not messing with that. I reckon that's how they win and lose this game. By keeping it in that inside 50 area for long enough for them to convert. And I think if they start mucking around with things, this side's got them to where they are. The one thing I will say, and I'll say it again, we didn't mention it before with Adelaide, is the one game in a month. I'm a little bit concerned about that.
Yep.
And that goes with Richmond here, but I'm still confident enough in what they've done to pick them to win. The Giants were so good last week, and I think what we saw with their spread, that could worry Richmond. One of the stats that was really interesting, I think week one they had one running bounce, last week 11. So yeah, the confidence was back. And if they play that game, they're really going to challenge the Tigers.
I think the Tigers will close space and protect space a lot better than West Coast. Aren't quick at the best of times, and I think they're as flat as pancakes.
Toby Green will have a big say in it.
So who plays on him if you're Damien Hardwick?
Jeez. There's a few down there to choose from.
I'd be playing Dylan Grimes on Toby Green.
Yeah, and look, one of the keys to them is Vlas June as well.
Yep.
I think he was terrific in the week one of the finals. He's probably one of the more underrated players in the comp now, I would argue.
Good call.
I would argue. So you'd probably leave him to his own devices, though, I think. But Toby Green, a real key to this game. Really interesting to see what impact the volume of noise has. I'm saying it's worth at least four goals. To Richmond. Well, it is. I mean, that's got to be intimidating out there. Most of these blokes have not played. What was the biggest crowd would have been the 60,000 last year they played in front of in the ANZ Stadium. That would be the biggest crowd. And even that, I would suggest, with the way the stadium is built and the passion levels there, there's nothing like what they're going to experience this weekend.
I agree with that. But I also think they've played at Adelaide Oval a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like, they were out... 52,000 fans at Adelaide Oval, 51,900 Adelaide fans.
Well, I'll give Adelaide fans, you're right there, I'll give them that because they are.
And that is a loud ground.
It is, and they're loud people.
That's a very loud ground. Himmelberg played a defensive role on McGovern last week.
Yep.
I would be absolutely doing that with Alex Rance. I'd be trying to take Alex Rance intercept defence out of play as much as I could, and I'd be testing the rest of the Richmond defence to be able to give them the bounce and run that they do trade off fairly heavily out of the back line without a heavy influence. Well,
I'm sure in their planning they'll have done a hell of amount of work on Rance, which is very much a key to them. So I've no doubt they will this week. It's going to be early. Take the juice out of the game. If the Giants take the juice out of the game early, they're a real show. But if Richmond skips away, it's going to be really hard to pick.
So when you say you mean take the juice out of the crowd?
I'm saying exactly that's what I'm saying.
Which probably
I'm saying it's almost four goals. It's almost like having another player out there. This is going to be massive, this crowd noise.
It probably means they've got to put the juice in the game. They've got to get the skates on and they've got to get out and spread.
They do. And they're capable of doing it. They're still, in my opinion, the best team when they get it right. Best team in the competition when they get it right. They just haven't done it, not only often enough from week to week, but over four quarters this year. I think they pretty well did it last week, albeit against a side that was really running on no legs at all. I guess that's the question mark that remains. It'll be really interesting to see. And again, with this small Richmond forward line, we've always said you need a couple of big forwards on the MCG in finals at finals time. They got away with it first week really well. let's see how they go this week.
Okay. Now, you're the president of the Stevie J fan club.
Love him.
What happens if his knee's a bit dodgy?
Oh, I'm playing him. I'm just playing him this week.
Yeah.
And it's his last hurrah. He's retired after this final series. We saw what happened last week. Even if he does something for a quarter, you only need to kick one or two and get the side moving. I would get him out there for the start. They need the experience out there. I mean, he's someone who's played in front of 90, 95. He's played in grand finals, won Norm Smith medals. He knows, you know, what it means to get out there and try and remove yourself from the excitement and concentrate on the footy. He knows he'll be a leveling, and so will Heath Shaw, by the way. They're the guys who'll be able to level their teammates and keep them on the right track as they run out on the ground.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there, and I think that with Rance being such an important player for Richmond too, Stevie J, with his experience and cleverness, is a player who may be able to work out how to get Rance to a position where he's least dangerous for GWS. So I think he plays.
Just saying, Geelong gets through and the Giants get through Stevie J grand final day. Just saying.
Oh, Richmond supporters are now turning in their graves.
Oh, well, you've got to win it. You've got to win it first and get through. Let's hope they haven't got ahead of themselves. I'm sure the players haven't, but...
We've got a couple of questions we didn't get to. We'll take care of them next Monday because they refer to West Coast and Fremantle list management. So Alex and Macca, promise to keep them on hold for you. We'll get to you early next week. Don't forget to follow the AFL and the Waffle in the pre-game lift out in the West Australian on Friday morning. Don't forget to get the full rundown of the Adelaide and Geelong preliminary final from Adelaide Oval in the Weekend West on Saturday. And don't forget to get the stupendous crowd one-sided coverage of the preliminary final between Richmond and GWS in quarters of Sunday times on Sunday morning, with all the human frenzy in the various tiers of the crowd of the MCG, and of course the full wrap of the round with the Waffle Grand Final in the game lift out in the West Australian on Monday.
I hope it's not like the day I saw a live cat being thrown from one tier down into Bay 13. That was hot. That wasn't very nice.
I wouldn't rule it out.
During a one-dayer.
And, of course, up-to-the-minute coverage of the AFL and the Waffle on thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. Glenn Quartermain, pleasure as always, and we'll see you again next Monday.
Will do.
Happy tipping to all the fans out there over the weekend.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been the game.